A few weeks ago, we were putting the final touches on the convent, and I was standing out front with a group of parishioners who were assisting in that process, and unexpectedly, a man drives up, parks his car right there, and he steps out, and as soon as he steps out, I recognize him, though vaguely. I couldn't place where I'd seen him before. I didn't know his name. He's not a parishioner presentation. He gets out of his car and he walks up and he says, "Excuse me, Father, do you have a few minutes?" And I said, "Well, sure, no problem." We stepped to the side. This man was probably in his late 30s. He says, "Father, we met a couple of months ago after the Marian conference at which you spoke." He said, "Some of the things you said touched me so profoundly that I came up and introduced myself afterwards." He said, "Father, I have a very critical decision to make at this point in my life." And he said, I felt our Lord was asking me to come speak with you about it. He said, "Father, I've been out of a job for over a year now. I'm a married man. I have two young children." And he said, "An ideal job opportunity has come to me. Everything about it is perfect, with the exception of one aspect." And he said, "I believe it's the most important aspect." He said, "If I take this job, it means that I will no longer be able to attend daily Mass." He said, "Father, there was a time in my life where I was away from Mass for years." He said, "They were the worst years of my life, and I never want to go back there. For the last 12 years, I have received our Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist every day of my life, and it is the source of my life. I can't imagine going a day without it. How would I live?" He said, "So Father, I think I have to say no to this job, but I didn't want to do so without consulting you first." My brothers and sisters, I don't know that I gave that man the right advice, but I agreed with him. I have no doubt that because of his love for and devotion to the Most Holy Eucharist, God will present another opportunity for him. And even more so, I know that when that man goes before God one day and God asks him, "Did you strive to enter through the narrow gate?" he will be able to respond resoundingly an affirmative yes. My brothers and sisters, what is the greatest thing a person could ever do in their life if they want to go to heaven? It would be to go to Mass daily. There is nothing that even comes remotely close to comparing to that. It infinitely surpasses anything else we could ever do. Because at Holy Mass, we receive our Lord Himself into our souls. Our Lord said, "I'm the bread of life. He who eats my body and drinks my blood has eternal life." And therefore, every time we receive the Holy Eucharist, our souls expand. A greater share of heaven is given to us. Reflecting upon this, I remembered a story from the life of St. Dominic. A woman one time came to Father Dominic, and this woman was a very devout Catholic woman. But she was an ascetic. What is an ascetic? It's a woman, or it's a person, who lives a very austere life, a penitential life. They try to do things to die to themselves, to put to death the flesh, to live more fully for God. And so this woman would take on very severe penances and fastings and sacrifices. And she comes to Father Dominic for confession because she had heard that even in his own time he was regarded as a saint. So she thought, "This is who I want to go to confess to." So she goes, she makes her confession. And at the end of confession, Saint Dominic is the one whom our Blessed Mother Mary appeared to and entrusted with the rosary. And she asked Dominic to spread devotion to the rosary throughout the church, throughout the world. It was his mission, one of his missions. So Father Dominic, at the end of the confession, he says to this woman, "For your penance, I would simply ask you to pray one rosary." Now, nowadays, if a priest asks you to pray the rosary in confession, most people say, "A whole rosary? Father, are you kidding? My sins weren't that bad." Right? If we're asked to pray more than three Hail Marys, we think we must be terrible sinners. It was not always that way. Right? Penances were given, greater penances in the past. Father Dominic asks her to pray the rosary, and this woman scoffs at him. "The rosary? You know, Father, I want to do something great for God. Give me a serious penance." He says, no, just the rosary. So the woman is displeased, goes home, and at some point that day, she reluctantly, half-heartedly prays the rosary. She goes to bed that night, and she has a dream. Maybe it was a vision. And she is standing before God on the day of judgment. And there is a balance before her. And angels from heaven come, and they take all the good deeds this woman has ever done in her life, all the prayers that she said, all the fasting, all the sacrifices, the serving of the poor, everything. And they place them on one side of the scale. And it's good and heavy. And then another group of angels come and they place all the sins of that woman's life on the other side of the scale. And to her astonishment, her sins were heavier than her good deeds. And she was horrified. She realized, oh my goodness, if I died today, I would not go to heaven. And then one final angel came from heaven and they took that one rosary and placed it on the side of the good. And to the woman's surprise, that balance came crashing to the floor. I bet there was not another day in that woman's entire life where she did not pray the Holy Rosary. My brothers and sisters, if we were to stand before God today and He asked, are you striving to enter through the narrow gate? Could we respond affirmatively? Are we making concerted efforts to live and learn our faith more fully? And why do we live in such a time where it seems like there's not too many great efforts being made? Maybe 30% of Catholics right now even go to church on Sunday. And that's just the beginning. Why is that so? I believe that above all else, it's because most people in the times in which we live, at least in the Western world, have bought the lie that everybody goes to heaven. Right? God saves everybody. There's no fear, no worries. Right? We're all going to be there together no matter what we do in this life. I remember one time a woman called me frantically. This was just a few years ago. A married woman, she's probably in her mid-40s at the time. She's a mother of three. She had a son, her youngest, who was in sixth grade. And at that time, in their religion class, they were studying the creed. And so all the kids were asked to go home and, with their parents, memorize the creed so that they could present it in class the next day. So her son comes home, he sits down, says, Mom, will you help me with my homework? I have to recite the creed. And he pulls out the creed from his backpack and he places it on the table. And his mom notices that one of the lines has been blotted out. And she thinks, gosh, that's weird. And she looks and it's the words, Jesus descended into hell. And she says, son, why did you cross this out? And he said, because my teacher told all of us in the class to cross it out. And she said, she did. Well, why would she say such a thing? He said, well, Mom, because she said that was just some scare tactic used in the early church to try to get people to behave good. That we don't believe such nonsense anymore. How many of those kids do you think are going to try to do great things to get to heaven one day? My brothers and sisters, our Lord in the Gospels, it is crystal clear that that place is a reality. When he talks about the wailing and grinding of teeth, he's not doing that to scare us. He's telling us the existence of a place that is real so that we'll do things to avoid ever going there. Let us ask our Lord as we receive Him today in the most holy Eucharist to reveal to us that which we might do to live our faith more fully, to strive to enter through the narrow gate.